Really interesting one this week, newsman. The email mistake you are making that's hurting your career.
I hope it's not what I think it is, but we'll see. Tim.
What, sending expletive rants to your boss by email?
Yeah, that's it. Imagine life without emails at work, Tim. It's hard to believe, like only 20 years ago or so. How did you get the communications out there? Memos, I guess, printed memos and...
Yeah, telegram. you know, I walk past offices all the time. I look in the window. What are those people doing? Or even I walk around our own office. What's that? What are these people doing? Like, what is everyone doing all day? Like, every job in an office involves us sitting at a computer. And you never really know what in the hell anyone's doing. I, every time, basically assume, what's this person doing? They're emailing. Everyone's just emailing all day.
So it's pretty vital you get it right. It's an integral part of the workplace. Where are people stuffing up?
Well, here it is. The mistake that's hurting your career, including smiley faces in your emails.
Oh, I like smiley faces in emails. Why? What's wrong with that?
So these are this is like an emoji, I guess. Mm. You know, in the old days, it just used to be a colon and an end bracket would symbolize a smiley face. Now you can actually, you know, get a real smiley face. Including them in a work email, a big no-no. Do you do it?
Oh, only among work friends, and if it's like a friendly email rather than a work-related. So pretty much all my emails, if hopefully no one's listening.
Yeah, I do it. And I reckon maybe that explains a lot about where our careers are at.
I assume it's about sort of real business interactions, though.
Yeah, yeah.
So what are the shortcomings of doing that? Just shows unprofessionalism, or?
All right, well, they did a study, included hundreds of people across multiple countries, and here's the bottom line. Our findings provide first-time evidence that, contrary to actual smiles, smileys, that's what they've called them, do not increase perceptions of warmth and actually decrease perceptions of competence. So you put a smiley in and people think that means you're not good at your job.
Bit of a twit.
So to conclude, they say in formal business emails, a smiley is not a smile. So the lesson here is smiling in real life, tick. Mm-hmm. That's good. Do that. Smileys in your emails, cross. Don't do that.
I see where they're coming from, but I think sometimes emails without emotion attached to it can be misconstrued.
It's a very tricky one, and I feel like when I do this, it's because I will have... You just want to do a really short email. I'll send emails that are two words. And that can seem like a bit sharp, maybe. So I feel like if you're sending like a really just almost curt email... Just a little smiley tacked on the end just lets them know, hey, you know, we're still happy here.
We're cool.
Like, things are good. Just, you know, we're just, you know, this is a quick email.
I take your request and I'm happy to proceed with what you've asked. It says a lot.
Yeah.
A smiley face says a lot.
Yeah. Unless you accidentally do a frowny face. Have you ever done that?
No.
It's a slight difference, but makes a big change.
You ever made any blunders on email, Tim, in a professional sense?
No, because I am just, what's that word?
Diligent?
No, that's not what I'm looking
Disciplined?
For. Disciplined? It's like when you have a compulsion.
Right.
Like I have a neurotic compulsion to just always make sure I'm sending the right email to the right person.
Right. I made a mistake once. This was in the early, I reckon it must have been fairly early days of email. And I was to-ing and fro-ing with someone at the office and accidentally sent an email to my boss, a very Des Ryan from Messenger Newspapers, the late, great Des Ryan, a real old school, had you shaking your boots sort of editor of a newspaper.
Yeah.
So to send him, well... Aren't you the social butterfly? We'll have drinks another night. Actually went down okay with him. He yelled out across the newsroom as he was prone to do, Marcus, get in here. And I'm already blushing as I make the walk and everyone sees me. And he had a bit of a chuckle about it. Just said, focus on your work and stop saying sending personal emails.
No, I reckon you got off light. I reckon you could have done a way worse. Like the all office reply by accident is probably, I reckon, the worst one you could do.
Yeah.
Where, you know, whatever. It almost doesn't matter what the email is, but it might be something, you know, that you really don't, you clearly don't want the whole office to know. I mean, most emails are between, what, you know, sending to one person or maybe a couple of people. But, yeah, I've seen it happen before. I haven't done it. I've seen it. And, yeah, that's, you don't want to be that person.
I reckon a trap in the email world is the way it sort of predicts who you want to send it to. So you start typing TI and you think it's going to be Tim and it turns out to be, you know, Tina from accounts or whatever. Can get you in a bit of a mess. But we've been told smiley face is the big no-no.
Yep, if you're doing them and your career is in the toilet, then maybe rethink the smiley face. Newsman, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure you don't have any tattoos.
Well, I don't normally get my bulging biceps out at work, but no, I don't have any tattoos. Don't really have a problem with them, really. My partner, she's got a small butterfly tattoo on her ankle. Mm-hmm. Not my cup of tea, but as long as they're not too outlandish, I'm okay with them.
I thought you might have maybe had a tramp stamp across your lower back.
Barbed wire. Remember the barbed wire craze?
Yeah,
around
I
the
do.
Arm? Yeah.
I do. And that's the problem with tattoos, because at one point in time, a while ago albeit, that like barbed wire, coil of barbed wire around your bicep, that was pretty much the height of tattoo cool. But if you had that now, you're shunned from the tattoo and the general community, pretty much.
Yeah, although you can do redos. A lot of shows these days it's quite the art, but you've got to go bigger and bigger and more elaborate. So
yeah, well, we've got a story about that rolling around.
Okay.
But I think we are both, I think, what would be referred to as clean skins.
Yep. The minority probably these days.
Feels like the minority. No ink on us, which either means we're a little behind the fashion times or...
Tick. Go on. Or?
Or just very prescient. That's not the right word. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is the fact we don't have any tattoos might be a good thing.
Why is that?
Turns out that they really could be bad for you.
Okay.
Well,
not just bad for your reputation.
No.
Actually bad.
Yeah. There's some people have looked into what the effect of tattooing on the skin. This is a research project done somewhere. I think it was in the US.
Mm-hmm.
And they found that people with tattooed skin produce less sweat in comparison to those with non-tattooed skin.
I guess that would depend on the size of the tattoo, really. But yeah, I guess if you've got one that covers the whole of your back or all of your arm, or...
You think maybe more tattoo, less sweat.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Not only less sweat, but the sweat of tattooed people contains twice the amount of sodium.
Okay,
doesn't sound good.
What, extracting sodium from the body?
Yeah, I guess. Mm. So, you know, and sweating is an important thing. Vital function. Helps us control body temperature.
Mm.
Is it a worry? I don't know. This is something that I was just putting on the agenda. Hey guys, we've discovered this. It means that you know, if you're producing less sweat, it could potentially be dangerous. It could lead to overheating, heat stroke. Loss of sodium is connected to dehydrating quicker, cramps. I don't know. I don't know if it's really that big a deal.
You see some people, though, generally men, bald head, tattooed all over the head. That mm-hmm. can't be good if that's the case.
Well, let's talk about this for a minute, because you're talking about head tattoos and also getting some tattoo work to improve or alter one you've already got.
Yeah, okay.
There's been a viral story in the last few weeks about a guy in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
Got the entire lower half of his face tattooed with the word devastate.
Ooh. Badass.
So just in case you haven't seen it, I'm just quickly showing you a printout of it. It was a prison tat.
Okay.
So it was done, you know, it's never going to work out well when you're getting a tattoo done in prison. And he also claimed he was drunk at the time of
homebrew.
Homebrew that was mixed up in prison. So a lot of bad ingredients in this story. Wash up is he's got a horrendous lower half of his face tattooed.
Yeah, you can't really... You'd have to look quickly. You'd have to look closely and for a long time to read Devastate. And it just looks like he's got a dirty, fake beard sort of going on.
He made headlines around the world because he was... I think he got out of prison now, but he's explaining, look, guys, I can't get a job. Because he looks like an abomination. So, you know, word went around, oh, you know, a couple of guys said, you know, look, we've all made mistakes. Let's give this guy a job. You know, we've all made an error. We've all accidentally covered our face with a terrible tattoo. And at the same time, he was saying, I want to get it removed. He's trying to raise funds to get the removal.
Yep.
A couple of weeks later, check in with this guy, and he's decided, nah, I'm actually going to keep it. He's not even going ahead with the removal anymore.
So what happens to the fundraising?
I don't know.
So he's not devastated after all. He's satisfied. That's maybe what he should put on his face. Devastated.
He's got a lot of spare real estate in the upper half of his face.
Okay. That. Stick with Devastate.
But yeah, this is a big thing. People tattooing all over their faces now. And if tattooing is, you know, causing some of these dramas that people are starting to think it might, you don't want to be the person with a tattoo across your whole face, do you? I mean,
it's a conversation starter, but beyond that, you're not gonna fit in.
unless you know you'll fit in prison.
People with a face tattoo don't want to fit in, though, do they? They don't want to slide by.
That guy, the New Zealand guy with his prison tat, got it done. He said because he had already a little tattoo on his jaw, and he wanted sort of to cover it up, basically, because he was getting teased by other inmates. So he's got this awful thing done.
To cover a little one.
Cover the little one, made it a lot worse. Probably getting still teased, you'd expect.
Yeah, if he's a target in jail before, guessing he's still definitely with that thing, that monstrosity on his face. Got any more horror stories for us, Tim?
No, that's enough tattoos.
Okay. Hey, Tim, I don't know if you enjoy the beach, an afternoon down at the beach. Adelaide's perfect for it.
Oh, yeah. Love the beach. Live fairly close to Semaphore Beach. We go down there all the time, mainly in summer. Although it's good walking down there, you know, even during winter, as long as it's not raining or blowing a gale.
Semaphore, Glenelg, Brighton, all gems of the coastline. Henley Beach is really one of the most popular ones as well. The local council has decided to charge for parking on the Esplanade Parks near Joe's Kiosk and also other parts of the Esplanade. $2 an hour. You can stay for 3 hours, so $6 for an outing down at the beach. Locals outraged, local businesses outraged. What are your thoughts on revenue raising? Obviously, they had that dramatic and fantastic transformation of the square there, but it comes at a cost.
I'm sick of everyone being so outraged all the time. There's too much outrage going around.
Yeah, it's... To me, I do have mixed feelings. I do understand that some people will be put off going to the beach, but they are prime parks. Have you ever tried to find a park on the Esplanade during summer? Near impossible.
I've been to Henley in summer and tried to get a car park, and yeah, it's almost impossible. But... So what you're saying is $6 maximum?
Well, and you can only stay 3 hours. So yeah, after that point, you'd probably get a fine as well.
$6. That's a cheap park.
Mm.
That is, you know, where are you going to find cheaper than that? And if it means, if it frees up some more parks, well, that's going
to
be good.
A local cafe owner I spoke to during the week said, hey, why don't you make it free for the first 2 hours? Perhaps 2 hours, a little too much, but maybe an hour? That would really get the park circulating. Everyone doesn't feel ripped off if they're stopping off for a coffee and just a walking the dog. I reckon you can do that in an hour.
Yeah, maybe people will just start going to beaches. Semaphore is free.
No, I wouldn't have thought so. Yeah, yeah.
So I guess you reach a point where you're so popular you can afford to start charging car parks. Like Glenelg, you know, they whack everyone for car parks, don't they? And then, but you got to, where's that line where you've crossed the line and you're charging people too much and they all leave and they go to somewhere else.
Isn't that part of the summer tradition, though? That's all my memories of my adult life, not being organised enough to get down the beach early enough on a real hot summer's evening. You start at the Esplanade with this stupid thought that you might find a park, and then you weave your way through the streets. You might as well start, for example, Brighton. You might as well start on Brighton Road and work that way before you find some cars. But
yeah,
you're lucky if you're within three or four blocks.
You know, the other thing about a beach trip is in the heat of summer, on those 40 degree stinkers, and you get there and you're in the water and it's so refreshing, you cool down, it's great. By the time you get back to the car, you're ruined again, and you're back to where you started. You could make a case that the whole trip, a beach trip in the middle of summer, is just completely pointless anyway.
And then you get in the car and you get the aircon on, but within the 5 minutes it takes for the aircon to go on, all that refreshing feeling that you get from dousing yourself in the seawater, gone. It's just sweat again.
And then you notice there's a car park ticket wrapped around your windshield just to cap it all off. So, yeah, I don't know. There's going to be a beach backlash. I'm sensing a backlash on this. I reckon people are going to just start leaving the beach in droves and go do something else.
Here's a question for you. Do you think people would have approved of the local council upgrading Henley Square? I didn't think it was too bad previously. If they had known, well, to raise some money, we're going to have to charge parking.
That's a really good question, because... we all want to have our cake and eat it too. I'm not sure how that phrase applies in this situation. Seems like the right thing.
I'm guessing no, but I guess the other point of view is, if we wait for everyone to say yes, if we don't want to pay for anything, nothing would ever get done in these sort of circumstances. What I'd like to see, Tim, is the council say, I don't know how much, 40% of the money goes towards coastal restoration. To me, that's the most important money you need to raise. Keep all the beaches fully stocked with sand, revegetation programs to make sure the dunes are holding together the beach in stormy conditions, so each summer we're not having to truck tons and tons of sand to keep these beaches beautiful.
That's a good idea. I think the word council is just a hot button word. Like, people hate paying anything to any council. It would be, people would, I think, cop it better if it just said, all right, the square's been upgraded by this, an organisation, by a business, and to pay for it, we're going to have to pay a little bit for car park, and that money is going to go to the business. He'll be like, oh, well, yeah, that makes sense. That's economics.
The council?
As soon as you say council, people are like, what? Council? Money to the council? This is an outrage. And there we are, back at square one. We're just always outraged. Tough using social media, newsman. Where does the line sit? How do you know when you've crossed it? When have you gone too far? All good questions that we've seen a great Adelaide icon completely screw up this week.
Web guy, I'm in my 40s. It's not really a way I communicate and get my information in terms of socially, but I believe anyone under the age of 25, if they want to know about nightclubs, social scenes, a bit of Twitter, a bit of Instagram's the way to find out what's going on in the city. Tell us about this one, though. It sounds like they've just gone a little bit too far, a local nightclub.
Yeah. Should we say the name?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, the name's been reported. We're not breaking anything here. Club called Red Square.
Haven't frequented there. Not recently. Not for many a year.
I reckon last time I was there, John Howard was Prime Minister. And I reckon I only went there once. And I reckon it just was weird. I wasn't digging the vibe. But anyway, I'm sure it's a completely different place now. Although, is it... This week they're in hot water, boiling hot water, for images they've been posting on their Instagram account. Now, I was saying it can be a fine line between being funny or being edgy, and then just getting it wrong and being offensive.
So what have they done? What is so offensive coming from Red Square?
Well, they've essentially appeared to encourage customers or patrons to grope women at the club. Grope women. I think that's a fairly obvious line not to cross. I think we all agree that groping is not what you do.
No, not without permission. I wouldn't have thought in those well, environments.
Then it's not. Then it has a different word, doesn't it? It's not a grope. I think grope implies unasked for,
unwelcome touching.
It's not even people. Funny. It's not. It's not a funny subject. But what is the only part that is funny is how badly wrong Red Square have got this. They sent a post, a picture of a butt in a pair of tight white pants, and a hand just grabbing the butt. And then the caption was something like, "If you see a great," and then they use the peach emoji, which represents a butt, supposedly. That's what the kids tell me. So if you see a great peach emoji in the club, grab it. Telling people to grab butts.
Just on a different topic, if it was a pair, you'd be talking about Port Adelaide supporters, but it's a peach. So
yeah, exactly.
I guess these nightclubs are pick-up joints and a lot of that happens, but to actually encourage it, to actually put it down in writing that, you know, you should just go with your impulse and...
And break the law. It's illegal, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can go to, you know, court.
Yeah, would that be a sexual assault or how?
I feel like it would be. I'm not a lawyer, but I feel like it would be.
So, images, encouragement. What's it a backlash? It sounds like, I feel like I saw a few clubbers on the TV news this week. Pretty angry with this because they're just to have a bit of fun and have a dance.
Yeah, well, it does seem offensive. Or is it genius? Because all of a sudden, it'd be interesting to know what their follower count on their Instagram has done since this story broke. Because I never even knew I hadn't never even looked at Red Square on Instagram. Never even thought of the place in Donkeys. And then all of a sudden, I'm thinking, Red Square? Yeah, I know that. I remember that place. I'm looking at their Instagram. So, you know, they've hooked me in. Although, for all the wrong reasons. And I'm pretty sure this is not going to make me go there. But yeah, there was a lot of backlash. You know, when someone puts out a Facebook apology in 2017, that's about as serious as it gets. And that's exactly what they have done. They said that, and here this is also straight out of the 2017 playbook. Post the apology on Facebook and blame a junior employee.
Because you can,
and who knows if it's true. You know, I mean, this is their Instagram account, and by having a quick glance at the account, that post that they sent of the peach emoji, not really out of place on the rest of the along with the rest of their posts.
So it's not an isolated thing. There's a real sexualization of what they're putting up on the Instagram.
It's racy.
It's racy.
You'd say it's racy. I mean, probably no other posts directing customers to break the law, but it's all very racy, and it didn't look all that out of place with the rest. So I feel like this is not a staff member who accidentally just did a blooper on the Instagram. This is a marketing strategy, surely, and that, you know, that goes, you know, that's, you're not handing that off to a staff member. Like, that's high level.
There's got to be better ways to promote it. Let's face it, these clubs, from my memory, are that... Well, that's a little bit about what's happening in the clubs.
Also in clubs, I mean, you could say that drugs are purchased in clubs. You would have to say that that is the case. But, you know, they don't
put a little picture of a pill emoji and say, get on this for fun times.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, just because it's, you know, going on... and I guess, you know, both groping and buying drugs, both illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Probably shouldn't be encouraging it on the social platform. If you're looking for a rule of thumb just to go by in future, probably avoid encouraging law-breaking behaviour, I guess. Anyway, the apology said that it was made by a staff member who's inexperienced in looking after their accounts, whose intentions were entirely innocent. Didn't look like an innocent image. Anyway, they thought it would be both fun and a little tongue-in-cheek, as the staff member knew the girls in the image. Both girls were aware of the image and content. So there's the explanation. They go on to apologise, but yeah, I'm not sure I'm really buying it.
Nah, and I think you nailed it early on. I think they were willing to take a hit to, you know, sorry, but in the process, plenty of exposure, which they wouldn't have got previously.
Yeah, reported around the country, this one, so we might be having people travelling from interstate, tracking down this, where is this notorious Red Square I've heard all about? Not that I think there's much of a market for patrons who specifically want to get along somewhere and go out of their way to be groped, but I guess if that is a market, Red Square have it tied up.